I want you just to listen to this with your heart. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Isaiah said, my heart is full of the knowledge of the loving kindnesses of the Lord, and the only thing I want to talk about is His loving kindness. I will mention, I will declare, I will proclaim the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us. I want to say glory to God. I want to say praise His holy name. I want to say I'm grateful today for the loving kindnesses of the Lord. You know what the loving kindnesses of the Lord are? They are the expressions in our life of His compassionate mercy and His loving goodness towards us. Sometimes we see that word loving kindness and it's kind of a King James word, but it oftentimes, as I'm reading the scripture, I pray that it's the same with you, that I'll read a passage of scripture and it will just burst on my heart. And I don't really understand all that it means in my head. All I know is that I just got blessed. I just got refreshed. I just got re-energized. I was just touched deeply by the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible says that the words of God, Jesus said that the Word is Spirit and life. There's life in this Word because this Word is Spirit. The Word and God are the same. And as we read the Word, as we hear the Word read, especially if the Word is a living Word for us, you know, there's a difference between the Logos Word, which is the eternal written Word of God, and the Rhema, which is the alive Word of God. And when that Word becomes alive, my prayer for you today as I share this scripture with you is that this Word will come alive in your hearts as it is in It's the blessedness of God. I will declare His loving kindnesses and the praises of the Lord for all of the good things that He has shown unto us. I will make mention of the loving kindnesses of God and the praises of the Lord for all of those things that He has bestowed upon us. God help us all to have that kind of spirit in our heart today, to be aware of the blessings of the Lord and the praises of God that He has bestowed upon us. Do you know, beloved, what He has done for us? What He has given us, what He has granted us, what He has become for us. The loving kindnesses of the Lord and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He hath bestowed on them according to His mercies and according to the multitude of His loving kindnesses. I'm so glad that God has not bestowed His loving kindnesses upon me on the basis of my goodness, on the basis of my perfection, on the basis of my wisdom. God has bestowed His loving kindness upon me, and He's bestowed His loving kindness upon you on the basis of His mercies and on the basis of His loving kindnesses. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. It has all to do with Him, and He is simply doing that which is natural for Him. For God is love, and for Him to bestow upon us anything other than loving kindness would be a terrible, terrible error. It would be an impossibility for Him to do it because He is love. Glory to God. He is love. And if He bestows anything upon us, it is loving kindness. It is mercy. It is goodness. Hallelujah. 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 Isn't Jesus wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Hail to the King. Hail to the Lord. Hail to the one who delivers us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will make mention of his loving kindnesses. I will declare his glorious mercies. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. According to his mercies, according to the multitude. Oh, every word, just every individual word, every little word is so pregnant with the power of God this morning, with the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. There is no shortage of loving kindnesses in the Lord. We're ministered to according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Verse 8, for he said, surely. Somebody ought to be shouting right now. Surely, surely, he said, they are my people. Surely they are my people. Surely he's my son. Surely she's my daughter. Surely they are my people. The book of Hebrews, it says about Jesus that he was not ashamed to call them brethren. Hallelujah. I'm grateful to him today that he was not ashamed to call me his brother. Hallelujah. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. Hail. Hail to the King. Hail to the Lord. Hail to the one that delivers us. He was their Savior, is their Savior. Verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. The book of Hebrews says that he is a great high priest, that he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In our affliction, God is also afflicted. No matter what your situation, you're not alone. God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're dealing with. He knows exactly what kind of a circumstance you find yourself in. In your affliction, he was also afflicted. You remember what Jesus said to Saul on the road to Damascus? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? When Saul was out attacking and arresting and even killing Christians, Jesus said, when you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you are doing it unto me. And the idea there, the message is that when we are touched by anything, that he is touched as well. I like that. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. The angel of his presence saved them. And the angel of his presence saved them. And the angel of his presence saved them. And the angel of his presence saved them. We're studying in Sunday school about how the angel, how the term is used, the angel of the Lord, comes to minister to Abraham and give him guidance and direction. And as I was reading this week and I read this passage, the angel of his presence, we have a difficulty understanding how a person could be called an angel in the Old Testament, but also he could be called Lord Jehovah. And this passage opens that up for me. The angel of his presence, when the messenger comes from the Lord, he carries the power and the presence of the Lord with him. The angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. You know, I don't want any man's pity, but I'm so glad to have God's. He knows that we are but flesh. The psalmist said, and he pities us in his love. And in his pity, he redeemed them. What does it mean? He bought them back. He bought them back. They sold themselves into slavery, but he paid the price to buy them back. And he bare them when they couldn't walk. He bare them. What do you do with your child when he can't walk? When your child says, Daddy, I'm tired. What do? You bear him. You pick him up. You carry him. That's what he does for us. The scripture says, when you couldn't walk, he carries you. He bare them and carried them all the days of old. And if we have a better covenant than Israel, don't you know that God will bear us? Don't you know that God will carry us? Don't you know, brothers and sisters, that the Lord God will bear us in his own eagle's wings if necessary? And don't you know that he's the El Shaddai God? He's the old breasty one. He is the one you've seen, Charles Atlas. You have not seen God. You have only seen a primitive imitation of what God will be like when he comes as El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. My shoulders are broad enough. My chest is strong enough. My back is strong enough. Get on my back. I will bear you. I will carry you. Quit struggling. Quit fighting. I will carry you where we need to go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it's said about Israel in verse 10 that they rebelled and they vexed his Holy Spirit. And therefore he was turned to be their enemy and he fought against them. He was angry at them. But then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with a shepherd of the flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? Yes, we do fail. Yes, we do fall. Yes, we do rebel. Sometimes we don't even know that we're doing it. Sometimes we do it right in his face. Sometimes we don't realize that we're doing it. But rebellion is there, and we do vex him. We vex his Holy Spirit. And we find him to be, although our friend, yet operating as an enemy. But yet God never forgets. God does not leave us. He remembers the days of old. He remembered, in this case, Moses, verse 12, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name, led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble, took Israel, as it were, in the middle of a wilderness and led him around by his nose just the way you would a horse, so that the horse will not stumble, so that they would not stumble, so that we would not stumble. As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Verse 15. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? There are times when we're not sure that God's really looking after us. We wonder. We know that he has bestowed upon us in times gone by of his loving kindness and of his mercy. But Lord, are your bowels of mercy restrained from me? Are you holding back? Verse 16, regardless, doubtless, thou art our Father. Doubtless, thou art our Father. No matter what is presently occurring, no matter what may come, no matter what may go, no matter what may occur in our lives, without a doubt, you are our Father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Isaac acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our Father. Isaiah says, if Abraham, remember Isaac and Abraham, obviously the fathers of the nation of Israel. And Isaiah is prophesying here, saying that even if our earthly fathers should forsake us, even if our earthly heritage should come to naught, if Abraham should reject us completely, if Abraham doesn't even know us, and Israel or Jacob acknowledge us not, refuse to acknowledge us as their children, Thou, O Lord, art our Father, and that's enough. If we have You, Thou, O Lord, art our Father, You're our Redeemer, Thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast Thou made us to err from Thy ways and hardened our heart from Thy fear? Return for Thy servant's sake the tribes of Thine inheritance. The people of Thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Then our adversaries have trodden down Thy sanctuary. We are Thine. But Thou never bearest rule over them, that is, the heathen. They were not called by Thy name. Oh, that Thou wouldst rend the heavens, that Thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at Thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth. The fire causeth the waters to boil, to make Thy name known to Thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at Thy presence. When Thou didst terrible or amazing things which we looked not for, Thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at Thy presence. In other words, we remember what You have done for us in the past. We need You again, he's saying. And then here's an encouragement for himself and one of the most wonderful verses in all of Scripture. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside Thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for Him. Amen. Let me read that again. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside Thee. Only You know what He, God, hath prepared for him that waiteth for Him. Nobody really knows what God wants to do in his life. Nobody really knows what God wants to do in her life. Nobody really knows, you cannot know, what God has prepared for them that are willing to wait for Him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember Thee in Thy ways. Behold, Thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There is none that calleth upon Thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of Thee. For Thou hast hid Thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art the potter. We are all the work of Thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech Thee. We are all Thy people. Hallelujah. Now, what do you do with that? I think all you do probably is just read it. But if you're like me, you'll have to read that several times for it to really burst on your heart in the way that it has me. Yes, we err, we make mistakes, we fall short. But we remember the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of God which He has bestowed upon us. And regardless of what has occurred, regardless of what happens in our lives, none of that is important. Abraham is not significant because he may remember you today and forget you tomorrow. Israel or Jacob is not important. He may remember you today and forget you tomorrow. But God will never, ever forget. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer, Thy name is from everlasting.